I will build my church, Jesus says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Firstly, Jesus is building this church, and he's building the universal church, every believer in the world. And he is doing it because if we don't mess it up, and he wants a church when he comes back. Okay, so praise the Lord. He says, I'm building it. You guys just help me, okay? So that's what I'm doing here. Trying to stay out of Jesus' way because he's building. But this is what I want to focus on. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me tell you, that's an outright commitment from Jesus. He says, you are safe. Know this. I'm building my church. And mark my words, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Are you the church? Are you in the church? Are you part of the church? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Are you part of the church? So will the gates of hell against you prevail? No. You are his bride. Isn't that assurance? That's important. I love it. I love it that my salvation is safe. The church will remain. And that's just my second point. I thank him for the church. Thank him. I just thank him that I'm not alone. There's guys that backs me, that helps me, that prays for me. We do this together. Lord, thank you for providing me with a home. And I hope that's a reflection of your heart. In gratitude, thanks for providing me with a home where I can flourish, where I can be beautiful, but also protected. Isn't that the place where any kid wants to grow up? It's a good reflection of a human home as well. Dad, make sure I flourish, make sure I be the best I can be, but also protect. Say no to me. That's not what the Lord can say now, but. And that's what God does to us. He protects us, he causes us to flourish. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you that you came and brought the church was coming. It's been a place for me where I found support. You know that many people, when they come to Jesus, they've got no family instantly. The day they make a decision for Christ. Even some Afrikaners. Just because you have church a bit different. Just because the Bible says, when you believe in Christ, be baptized, and the Paul said, God help you. No, for some of us, the church is your only family. Created by God. What an awesome family. Amen? Can you say thank you for God's house? Be thankful, guys. When we come next week, remember, it's a privilege to come. Next one, let's go. Just reflect out of the heart, guys. Heart to heart tonight. Romans 12 verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the, here's that word again, grace given to us. Because God is so glorified and glorious, he pushes grace towards us to help us. Save us was the one. And now, through grace, to give us gifts. Let me walk you through church to explain this to you. Jesus takes different people and he puts them together. And he does something beautiful. I walk into this door on a Sunday evening. I come here, I try to be at 4, sometimes 4:05, forgive me. Prayer team, supposed to start at 4, but sometimes on the midday. I come into the door and on the stage is the band. Normally it's not Warren, but Warren and 4 other people. And these guys have been practicing from 3 o'clock. Now listen, I'm the pastor of this church, but when I come here, they've been here an hour already. I come in, I say, how's it? There's Vision setting up the screen, or Paul or some of the other people with a computer, they've got that now, they've got everything. I just walk in here. At the back is going down, some of the girls, Nicole, they're setting up the coffee, and we're going to enjoy the afterwards. We like eating here. Thank you. And they're sitting up the back. I mean, there's this thing this month. Just look behind you. Check that thing out. This month, that's what's going to happen next month. I'm like, I didn't design that thing. For crying out loud, who made it? I don't know. Go now. There's a blackboard. Join us for coffee and treats. Who the heck put that thing up? I don't know. I come in here and it's all here. There's a little mom's corner with a chair. You know, guys, that's just a picture of the body of Christ. I come in here, my job is to preach the message of what God gave me to do. And one's job is to take ownership of the worship. And so we walk together. Now, who's most important? Who's the most important? It's not one of us. It's definitely not me. I promise you that. Because we are body. Christ brings us together just like a rapid team. I have the Pratos. The Pratos. Brings us together not like the stormers, but like the chickens. Now, he brings us together, so maybe I'm the one now taking the shine, scoring the throw in the corner. But you know what? This is not about me. This is about Jesus. Doing the work here, and we all are participating. Well, obviously, if you want to. I was speaking to my wife the other day, everybody loving me, join the spot, myself, I'll just protect our interest. But we were having a conversation, and what we realized is how easy it is to be envious towards other people. Yes, that person can sing so beautiful. Yes, why can't I do that? Why is this church of 400 people? Did God downgrade because the church in Cape Town was big? Now the church is small. You know, looking to other people. Guys, let us not be stupid. God made you different than someone else. Joyce Holloway are meant to be like Joyce. Because God made Joyce to be Joyce. So rejoice. Okay? You are not to be like someone else, Joyce. Do you know that? Zinta, did you know that? Praise the Lord, because if I have to make up the place at the back, guys, there'll be a six-pack Coke, a pot chips, and that's it. Done. But praise the Lord, you're going to do it. Can I tell you one thing that happens when we get in sync? I come in here, the band is rehearsing my faith as well. I'm not in the band. I come in here, in that place, the back, it's looking beautiful. I'm standing here looking at the food the whole time. You're looking to the front. Maybe I must put a screen or something. My faith gets built because I see people, slowly but surely, adding faith in this place through different gifts. Maybe it's just the time. This is not an info break, don't worry. But maybe you must ask yourself, where does God want to use you? Okay. Get stuck because other people benefit from it. Are we together? Just another verse on that. 1 Corinthians. Now there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there's varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there's a variety of activities, the same God who empowers all in all. And to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. Now this is going to speak on spiritual gifts. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see the gifts of the Spirit, like miracles. And the Bible even says to each of us, the Holy Spirit is given to work through us powerfully. And I'm not going to go into that now. We do that in our membership courses. The one is called Starting Point or Encounter One. We teach you about this stuff. Because before you can become a member, we make sure we're one in a heart. Right? But let me say this. To each one of us, through us, the Holy Spirit works differently. I'm telling you now. I go to a place. I close my eyes. And I'm not saying this to be funny, this is just my strength. I close my eyes and I plant a small one. That's what I do. That's how God works for me. But there's other stuff I promise you I cannot do. Now sometimes I look at other people and I think, yes, man, why am I so like this? Why can't I teach like that? But that's not maybe the way God wants to work through me. What I'm telling you is there's something in you for the benefit of the church. Given by God. Bring it up. And you're only going to know it if you get stuck in so that people can help you bring it out. Just being in a small group, eh? And after the fourth week, is what I'm going to listen. Let me tell you what I'm seeing in you. Suddenly, boom, someone hits the hammer on the nail. And you start to move in an area that you've never moved before. My third area of saying thanks to is says, thank you, Lord, that I have a function and a purpose. Just take a moment. Thank God that He's placed something in you for His kingdom. You are meaningful to God. He purposely made you, put you together like a puzzle, exactly. Ladies, let me start with you again. I want to edify, I want to build you up. Don't feel down because you sense you are too emotional. Or you just cry. You can't make it like that. Just take it. Just take it. Maybe you are there to feel on behalf of other people. To feel it. To really feel it. Pain. Because if you don't feel it, nothing is going to be done. So embrace it. Guys, some people tell you you are. Okay? I'm not saying let's stay that way, but listen, maybe there's something about you made to stand for the right thing. You know, as young men, what we often do is, when we've got this gift of leadership, and I spoke to my wife friend about it yesterday, we know we're made to stand, we often stand for the wrong stuff. Let God take that exact same gift in you. Take it where there's people you can trust, the church's best environment, and say, guys, I need to stand for the right stuff. Support me now. You stand this side, you stand this side, you stand in front, you stand behind me. I'm going to stand for the right stuff. Because it's been placed in you. Amen? I'm thankful for God. And slowly but surely, I know what my function is. And it's not because I'm a pastor. I'm telling you, if you love the Lord, you seek Him, He will tell you. Let me tell you what I've been feeling the Lord's doing more than ever. Sometimes we, as pastors, we're very critical of ourselves. So someone will come into this church and they will say, where's the old people? Right? This is a small church. It hasn't been planted for a long time. Where's the kids' church? We'll get there. Where's God working at the moment? Look around. Look around you. Between 20, 35, 40. That's our age. That's where God was using us. I'm committed the next year, my purpose, to walk a road with young working men in this place. If God changes my heart, I'll do it. I'm not going to worry and stay awake at night because the old people is not yet here. They will come. There is momentum at the moment. The Bible says in John 2, the wind of God blows. You don't even tell me where it blows. I'm telling you, the moment the wind of God is blowing through us with young workings. Let's get stuck in, guys. Let's be the body. Let's come together. Let's minister to our friends. Let's get the ball rolling. Because there will come one older couple into this church and they will say, hey, we are called to get the old people in here. And we don't care that there's no other old people. We're stuck in with you young guys. We love you. And watch this place. Because we'll do it. In the meantime, we do with what we have, what we can. Amen. We have a function, and you have a function. And there's no friction between the two, amen? I actually wish the other guys were sitting in this morning. Really, the Lord is doing something in our hearts, binding us together. Maybe Graham and Ellen will stay with us, and I'll go back to Cape Town. Let's go on. That was not good. Are you still awake? Am I boring you? Proverbs 17 verse 17. Yes, now you're going to get me excited. A friend loves us all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The one verse says, there's a kind of a friend, he sticks even closer than a brother. Therefore, encourage one another, that's another verse, and build one another up just as you are doing. Listen, I need real men to be my friend. Let me be straight up. I need real friends. You need real friends. This life is just too short. I love, I'm driven by love. I do things because I love people. And I will go to the ends to show my love on people, care for them, draw them close. But friends that come close, I need real friends, guys. I need a friend that can call me on my mistakes. Paris, you're missing me out. Oh, That is, I think you need to pray about this. I'm concerned because I love you. I care for you. I am invested in your future, in your calling. I will back you. That's the kind of friend I need, guys. And that's the kind of friend you need. You don't need a friend that's there when it's lacquer. You know, when you get trouble at home, you really need someone, they're not there because they're there for the next part. Who's going to back us? I'm telling you, God provides for us, other people. I'm just glad I'm not the only saved person on the earth. Thank you, Lord. God's so gracious, He saved some of my friends so that we can walk together. Thank you, Lord, that this person loves you. Now I know He can love me the right way. Check this verse out. Next one. Therefore, now this is a weird one because Christians come is also pretty far. Confess your sins to God. Confess your sins to God. Now, to one another. What does James mean? It means you need a friend. That's what it means. You need a friend so that you can be outright honest about your sin. The power of sin is in its secrecy. You keep your sin in secret, it grows. And then it claps you. And you're out. You bring your sin in the light, it's over. You are free. You need a pal. In fact, you don't need a friend. You need friends. You need a community that can stand with you. That will not leave you out to die. Right? So I've got friends, and I'm making new ones, and I love them. They'll phone me in the middle of the night. Danny, you know what I just did? I open my computer and I watch porn. And sometimes you should. And I hear the sadness and I was messed up and what now I feel like God is going to hit me with a ton of ball. Now I'm like, you should be sorry. You should be scared. But that's okay, right? Lord, I pray for pity. As He's bringing in the light, the power that the demon has over you is broken. Lord, give him love, not lust. Lord, give him a desire and a hope to have a marriage, not a fling. And as we walk in the light, I just see people bursting out of chains and become awesome husbands, awesome wives. But we need to confess to one another. And who do you trust? If you've got friends that you cannot trust because they'll tell your story to the next guy, then you're in a bad place. I've got friends, and I think action point for you guys. If you're not in this position, you really need to make a plan. You really need to get stuck in, guys. Honestly. If you've got friends that's got your back like this, action point. Take your phone off of the service and tell them you love them. And you love it that they are honest with you and that they've got your back. And you appreciate them. Okay? I thank you, Jesus, for giving me godly friends. Guys with passion like me, does the same stuff to me, like play rugby together. Graham has done the Ironman in the comments 10 times. That's not boring for a Christian. I mean, this guy's got some serious passion, but his passion is for God. We can do it together. Thank you, God, for giving me friends. Can I get an amen on that? You either got a good friend or you need one quickly. This is a good place to start. Last one. You'll see a pattern just now. John 15, verse 16. I love this. You did not choose me, God says. But I chose you. That's some. If you sum that up, you did not choose me, I choose you. What's the word? Grace? You didn't see me and found. No one finds Jesus because he's not lost, right? The people in the river, we are lost. He finds us, okay? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Let me tell you what, Jesus wants you to be productive. Let's go to the previous slide. First, he saves you. Thank you, Jesus. And it gives you a home where you can flourish. It gives you a purpose in the home. Okay? And you see how you buying in steps, okay? And then it gives you real friends. Guys, let's be honest. Of course, you come in here, you really want to be friends with them. You know his name. You don't make friends like this. Right? It's a process. Somewhere down the line, you come in, you make friends. And then God says, I want you to go and bear fruit. I want you to go and do something. And you know what? It's easy to be something and do something when you are planted in a place where you can bear fruit. You are covered, you're protected, you've got friends. God's grace is working in your life. Go bear fruit. Easy job. Put me down my own day on the island. Can't do it. Check this next one. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go. Some people want to go, but they haven't even come. They're not even in the church, but they want to go. Alright? Last one, number five. God wants you, his ideal for you is to do the work of Jesus. Listen, don't quit your job and become a missionary. That's what I'm talking about. These people at your work, missionary them. There's people where you play sport or where you go on internet chats, whatever. There's people everywhere. I was just joking. But God, I thank Jesus for sending me. I thank Jesus that he allows me to take a part to change people's lives. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. If I can be a part, I know he's doing everything, but if I can be a part of a person changing, following Christ, I come to life. I thank Jesus for giving me the opportunity to represent him. Amen? Someone happy about that? God wants to use you. I want to finish up with this story. Just look at that stuff. Just one slide back. Just look at that. Not at the cappuccino in the background, please. We'll have coffee afterwards. But look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. I think that will be fairly described as a good foundation in the Christian faith. Listen, we've got starting point next month and our encounter series we teach you a lot about foundations, but that's a good way to summarize it. Inside the house, having a functional purpose, going for it. Now let me finish with this. Matthew 7, verse 24. Number 1 to 5, see that as a good foundation. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a good foundation, on a rock, right? With me? Check this out. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Now, check the next one. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built the house on the sand. Check now. The same words. Check verse 27. The rain fell, floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Just go one slide back. Look, 27, 25. The rain fell, floods came, the winds blew, and beat. Next one. Exactly. The rain fell, floods, winds, beat against that house. Let me tell you one thing. The believers that solid in Christ and the unbelievers face the same challenges. Did you know that? Both houses. The rain falls. Rain falls from the top. Floods came. And winds. From the top, from the bottom, from the side. Both houses. Sometimes we say, maybe that person is not a Christian because look at how he's suffering. Guys, don't look at that way. Or maybe I'm a Christian because I'm suffering. Don't look at it that way. Okay? The same trials often befalls the sinner and the saint. Winds, rains, the only difference is one's house will fall when that trial comes, the other one's house will stand. My one friend, actually twins, both my friends, mom died last year. The one too close to God, the other one now curses God. Same situation, same mom, same experience. The one's faith was actually built on Jesus before. So when this happened, too close to God, I need your protection now more than ever. other one, God didn't exist. Same story. Let me tell you what will happen in your life if you build your house on the rock, on the foundation that God gives us. The wind will blow against you, the rain will fall, the floods will come. You'll come out of your house, you'll give your house a look and say, ship it. Look at my roof. There's holes in the roof. The place is leaking. Look at the walls. It's dirt full of cracks. Look at my front door. Where is it? We took it out. Okay? Look at my furniture. Everything is like, this was a hectic storm. And you want to feel discouraged. You turn your head. And you look there where your friend had a beach house. And like, where's the house? And there's nothing left. Same storm. Same night. You turn your face back to your house and you say, man, I've got a good wall. I've got a good roof. What a solid foundation. I can fix this roof, man. Get a hammer, get a spiker, and I've got up for breath. My house is standing. Lord, thank you for giving me a foundation. I can handle whatever comes my way. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for planting me. I can flourish. I can bear fruit. Father, I've got friends that got my back. I can do this. Storms will come, Lord. I will repair my house. I will repair my life. My faith will not fall down. Amen. Let's stand up to me. Guys, I want to thank you for listening and taking part, okay? And we asked in the beginning that God would work in our hearts. I just sense that God works in our hearts. Right? Let's just finish off with you. Father, I want to thank you for every person here tonight. Lord, your word says that in Philippians 1 verse 6 that he that starts a good work in you will bring it to completion. You will complete the faith of every person in this place. Guys, I'm not going to call anyone to the front, but I'm going to ask a few of us, just keep your eyes as close, to respond with our hands, just as gestures to God. Just be standing and walk up at the front. Firstly, let's just do it together. If you feel that your house is on the sand, you need to shift it like onto a foundation, just put up your hand as a sign to God. Okay? I want to shift my house. Thank you for those hands. I want to shift that my house onto a rock. Just keep your hands up. Lord, I thank you for these two hands that's up. And I pray that you, Father, will help them to build on the rock. The rock is Jesus and his word. Right now, do a work in their hearts. Give them courage. And you say tonight, Lord, that you see their hand. You see the fact that they say, Lord, it's time for me to shift. Because if the storm comes now, there will be nothing left. In fact, maybe your house is already in ruins. Lord, I start going tonight. In the name of Jesus. You can lower your hand. Guys, keep your eyes closed. Let's just work through this. If you say, tonight, I didn't realize that God wants me to flourish in his cause. I didn't realize that for God it's so beautiful. If I'm wrong, when I come into this place where I just worship him with who I am, I didn't realize that, but tonight, I want to say thank you, Lord, that you think I'm beautiful and I'm planted. And you want to make it through, and then you hear exactly what this church is about, what our heart's about. In short, we love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. There's the whole month summed up in three words, but that's where we're going. And tonight, I'm just using another sermon to come across a bit more devotionally. Right? What that means is a bit more reflecting on what the Lord is speaking to me about at this time. That being more devotional than being more like a teacher taking the word and ripping it apart. So be with me. We're trying to give you guys a balanced diet. Okay? Sometimes we come very devotionally and when mission speaks, we come across very, very teacher-like like we had on Wednesday night, that evening when we spoke on heaven, hell, and mission. Just give a clap. You are on the So we try and give you a balanced diet, okay? We try and introduce you to the Christ, but not leave you there. Introduce you to the Holy Spirit, His gifts. How does it work, miracles? How does it affect your life? And next month, we're actually going to walk you through everything. Tonight being more like almost a living room sermon. Really going at your heart. And God is interested in your heart and your head, right? It says, love the Lord your God with your body, soul, and mind. So sometimes we need to preach at your head. We need to understand stuff. Because people at work, people in the world has got questions. You need to give them an answer. When God speaks to your head, it's got a way of going into your heart. Other times I just preach straight at the heart. And tonight is one of those evenings. Are you with me? So where this fits in, if you want to put it with Easter and Passover, is last week we spoke about the resurrection power of Christ and various victories that we get because of what Christ did. Tonight I really want to say thank you to the Lord for different things that He gives us. And this actually aligns well with Easter because Christ is risen, there's certain things released among us that makes it possible for us to follow Him and makes it easier for us to follow Him in and that with joy. Alright? And I just went devotionally and I've got a few things that I want to thank the Lord for. And I want you to walk with me through it and use it really as a mirror in your own life. As I'm speaking, I want you to hold up the mirror and ask yourself, how am I doing? Right? Firstly, I always tell my friends, sometimes when I preach something, you think because I've got it under control. It's because when I prepare a sermon, it takes me 5 to 10 hours or longer. So the Lord works with me for 10 hours and He works with you for 30 minutes. Okay? So this is the stuff that's going on in my heart and I'm working through it and I'm really coming from a place of let's do this together rather than listen, I've got it done, you guys get it together. Okay? That's not how we roll. Okay, let's do this together, let's do it together. Let's look at a few stuff. I'm going to pray for us. Father, tonight, as every heart is here, and every mind, every soul, every spirit, I just proclaim, Lord, that none of these people, Lord, belongs to another human being, or to another system, or to me, or to this church. No, Lord, they belong to You. So, Father, my prayer is that You will do a work in every heart. Lord, I pray that You will come like a surgeon, and really come and cut in our hearts where it needs to be cut, and really help us, really bless us tonight. We give You this time. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, let's start off on a kind of a high note. Well, you need to get this. John 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Who's the Word? Jesus. Right? The Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. That's why, I'm just interrupting myself, that's why when Jesus speaks, you can take it face value. He is the Word of God. God's Word became flesh, Jesus. When He speaks, God speaks. Now, no question. Some people like God. I don't want Jesus. I like Muhammad. I want some other angel. You can't get to God without Jesus, because Jesus is God, right? So the Word of God became flesh, and He dwelt amongst us. He lived amongst us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came, lived among the people, and they saw something. Firstly, Him living amongst the people was bringing the glory of God down to earth. Now, it's difficult to define glory, right? I can define elbow. Easy. It's a joint right here. Okay. Or me, or I can define computer, some other fancy technological advanced system you can do many things on. But glory, what is glory? Show me glory. It's difficult, right? This verse gives us something. It says, the glory of Christ as He was living amongst us showed us two things. And I've brought a little fresh buck here. How's this? For a prop. Sorry, Junior, I took stuff out of our home. I hope it doesn't break yet. But Donnie's not here tonight, so. My safe. Donnie's a little 4-year-old that's good at breaking stuff. So. He's not here tonight. It's praise the Lord. Is this just for the breaking point? Okay, please guys, don't put me in a bad spot here. Okay. Yes. Praise the Lord that this little lost bowl will remain in 1 minute. That's what I meant. What is this, a bowl? This is a bowl. Right? This is the glory of God. Okay, not really, okay? This is not the glory of God. This is but symbolic. There's two things that the glory of God showed the people. What is those two things? What does the scripture say? It contains two fruit in here. I can't read lips. Sorry? We beheld his glory, and it was full of grace and truth. If we don't know a whole lot about the glory of God, let us just agree on this. It is full of grace and truth. The glory of God is full of grace and truth. Now, let me just take this one out. Truth. Because we're not going to speak of truth tonight. You can eat that if you want. I don't know if it's nice. I've been around the house for around 3 months. So. Okay. Grace and truth. Let me speak with grace here for a moment. It says, the glory of God contains this one thing, two things. One of it is grace. Please, imagination, grace, whatever. What is the grace of God? Could you give me a definition for grace? Okay, I'm starting a bit teacher-like. Okay? Give me a definition for grace. Come on, not you. Anyone, try, please. I won't repeat your wrong answer if it's wrong, don't worry. Come on, anyone. Grace, Canada.
When you get something that you didn't deserve.
When you get something that you don't deserve, or another way to put it is unmerited favor. When you get something you do not deserve, or when you get help to do something which you should actually not be able to do. Right? Give me a few examples of grace, people. Give me a few examples of grace. Let me give you one. It's grace from God that this woman here agreed to marry me. That's grace. No jokes. I don't deserve a loving heart. A wife. I don't deserve anything. Yet, I've got a wife. It is God's grace. Janae is one area of God's grace in my life. Now, you give me a few more examples of grace. Come on. Got a lot of time. I didn't say he goes to get much done. Any ability. I like that. Any ability that you have is grace from God. And what that means is you cannot boast in your own abilities. Do you know that? It would be very stupid and foolish of you to boast in your ability looking at someone who does not have that ability. Because no ability is in you or part of you if it was not for the grace of God. Alright? What about salvation? What about being saved? What about knowing God? Okay, we're going to get that in the next verse. It is the grace of God. Can you see a pattern? When grace gets exercised, we get stuff. Right? Whether it is a wife, a talent, God makes us a certain way, that's grace. Being saved, grace is not something for God. It's something from God for us. Can we agree on that? When do we see grace? When we see the glory of God. We behold the glory of God full of grace and truth. Let me tell you something. When God is glorified, what happens to grace in your life? It abounds. When God is glorified in your life, grace abounds to you. Did you know grace is not it's not a once-off thing? The Bible often says, I pray that grace will be multiplied to you. 1 Peter or 2 Peter, first chapter. I pray that grace, how do grace be multiplied? Glory of God. Whenever God is lifted up into a place and you give him glory, grace comes into your life. The Because God's glory contains grace, right? Right, next question. This is just introduction. When was the time in history, arguably, when God's name was glorified more than any other time? Maybe we can come up with two or three examples, but come on, give it a shot. Time in history when God's name was glorified the most. Sorry? The resurrection? Very good. Let's put it together. The cross. I would say it's also creation. Okay? God showing his glory by creating. And many times we could say, we could give examples where God did stuff where his name was glorified, but I would say, if I think in my vote, when Jesus Christ, God himself, showed the world that he's willing to die a humble death, defeat sin, and raise, I would say that was the section in history where God's name was glorified, because we preach about it everywhere. Every good church, well, you know what I'm saying, the gospel is central. When is the moment in history when the most grace was dispensed to you? Come on. Come on. When you got saved, why did you get saved? Because of the same thing. The same moment when God was most glorified, the most grace came to you. Let me ask you a question. Is it good to lift up the name of God in your life? Yes. When he is lifted up, grace comes your way. I'm not saying when you've got a problem with your budget, you worship and now there's money. I'm saying there is grace. That means you're going to make it either way. Whether it's grace from within, grace from external, when God is lifted up, the hand of grace moves in your life. The moment when God was most glorified was the cross. It was also the moment when God was satisfied with the payment. John Piper, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied. And what he's saying, that's the slogan of the church. When God is most lifted up in our lives, that is exactly the place where we benefit most as well. Through grace. Not in the worldly way, in the godly way. When we lift up God, our need gets 100% aligned with his need. It's not a need, but let's say God needs to be glorified. We need grace. So to worship God is the best thing you can do. Warren, thanks for leading us in worship. We need to worship God. God doesn't need it. We can say, God, let's glorify God. But you know, we cannot give God more glory. He is glorious, right? He is who he is. He needs nothing. Who needs to glorify God? We. Because we need grace. Alright? I'm trying to paint a picture here. Before I go on to the 5-minute, let me just throw the other side. What happens when I exalt myself? Let's use the situation. Now, you put yourself in your own shoes at your workplace or wherever you have influence. Let's use this congregation. Now, I'm the guy with the mic, right? So I've got some influence here, some kind of influence. What happens when I glorify myself and I make much of myself? And I encourage you guys through clever speech or from taking the focus of Jesus onto myself. What happens? I give myself glory and I distract you from glorifying God. I distract you from receiving grace. That's why being selfish is a sin. When I am selfish, it's about me. I lift myself up. Look at me, look at me. I'm great, but I cannot give you grace. If I live and I say, man, Jesus, worship Jesus, right? And you do it with me, we both receive grace. Can you see why idolism is a sin? When we give glory to anything else than God, we close the door of grace in our life. You can see two people be exactly the same place. Look at the two guys hanging each side of Jesus. Same, they're going to die, both of them, but both on the cross. The one guy looks at Christ and say, wow, magnify you. Boom, grace into his heart. Right there and there. This other guy, Christ is hanging in the middle. I'm taking a bit long here, but are you okay with it? Christ hanging in the middle. This is not part of my sermon, but it paints a picture. Now this guy, he is speaking to Jesus, and that other guy is hearing it. Because at this stage, the one guy chews the other guy. Are you not scared to die? So these three in the air, there's a conversation going. And the one is mocking Jesus just before he dies. How stupid can one be? I'm like, you've got this charge. You're going to die in 1 hour. And you have the audacity to mock God. Guys, they just show us how evil the human heart is. Let us pray for our hearts to be soft. Okay? This other guy says, remember me. You are God. Remember me. Right there, grace comes into his life. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 5 areas of thankfulness. Right? And what I want us to do is towards each of these areas, let's have a thankful heart and let's glorify God in that so that grace can help us fulfill that purpose. Right? Are you with me? Remember this. God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied. God's glorification and my satisfaction runs together. I need to be saved. You know, that's my deepest longing. I didn't know that when I was younger. But my deepest need was to be saved. It was a need that needed to be satisfied. And yet God's most glorious moment satisfied that need. He gave me eternal life. Are we together? I'm repeating it from different angles. Alright, now, I had this scripture up the last 2 weeks. The smart people say you have to repeat something 7 times. Don't worry, I won't do it 7 times. But I'm not rushing over this. Area number one, talking on 5 areas that I am extremely thankful for God to. Let's move away from this. And you were there in the trespasses. Just say, I'm there, I was there. I was there. Tell it to the guy next to me. I was good. This is awesome. Okay. Ik was steeds deri was, maar ik was dood. Ik was mijn toegezien. You were dead in the trespass of your sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Guys, just look at the picture here. Some of you guys are hearing this for the third time. Praise the Lord. You can teach it next time. Every single person, Paul is saying, is born into a system, let's call it the course of this world. Now, die route of die gang van die wereld. Right? And he's saying, as this river flows, like a route, everyone is born in this thing, the world. The Bible refers to the world also. Don't think like the world. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. You cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. Everyone with me? This river is moving. Where is this river going? In short, come on. Where? No, I can't get it. No. This river, unfortunately, but it's the truth. I love you. That's why we tell the truth. This river of the world is going to hell. We know that. Right? And who is keeping you in that river? The prince of the power of the air. The devil, that is. He's making sure you stay. Just enjoy this room. Just enjoy. Don't think about tomorrow. Think about now. Don't think about marriage. Think about relationships now. You know, just don't think. Just go. That's what he's hovering. He's moving, inspiring you to stay in the room. And this is where I want to get at. Next verse. We all live in the passions of the flesh. That's what's happening in that river. We live only for what we feel is good, for what we desire. For the body and the mind, but we need acclimate, no, but it can't know. That's the language of this river. I want it now, and that's it. And then it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, this river speaks of a deadness, right? In this world, there's not the two kind of people in this world, is not those who have run their conference and those who have not. They say that with every big event, or those who have climbed Kilimanjaro or not. This world is divided into 2 groups of people. Those who are still dead in their sins, and those who have been woken up, alright? By the love of God. Agree? But God, even while you were dead, didn't love him at that time, you didn't know his name, you didn't even do souls. While you were dead, he made you alive by what? By grace. Is that the word again? By grace. Lord, glorify your name. That's why God cannot be selfish. Do you know that? God can be committed to his own glory. He's the only person in the world that when he is selfish, I benefit. Because he's only God. When God glorifies himself, what happens in your life? You get grace. God be glorified. That's what I'm saying. Glorify him. Whether you glorify it through yourself, whether you glorify it through me by singing, whether you glorify it through some of us going on a mission trip, but just glorify your name. Because, Lord, I need grace. And lots of it. And because God is glorified, because Christ was on a cross, grace has been established to wake some of us out of our sin. Are we still together? Number one, then, I thank you, Jesus. You saved me by grace. While I was perishing, I couldn't start anywhere else. Eh? Thank you. I was in this river. You know what? I was an arrogant brat when I was in this river. Because I looked around and said, look at that guy. Look at what he smokes. Look at what this guy does. I'm okay. In the meantime, I'm in this place dead as a duck. And a loving God comes, glorifies himself, and that glory is full of grace and truth. So grace comes to me to open my eyes to the truth. I'm like, I realize the truth. I am not the neck funny plek. I am going south. Lord, help me and I get saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now tonight, I'm challenging you. If you think it's nice that this thing doesn't cut to your heart, it doesn't cut your heart open, thankfulness, then you must get saved. I'm just being honest. Because this sermon can stop right here, and any believer that loves Jesus should say, man, what a sermon, because this has changed me forever and forever will be. Can I get one amen?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, go in devotion, talk to the hearts tonight. Is your heart burning for God? Can you feel love for him? Can you feel, man, thankfulness? Thank goodness, now I am out of this freaking river, and I can help other guys. Hey! God's got a plan for you. What are you talking about? No, just trust me. Okay? Number two. Psalm 92, verse 13. Everyone still awake? Just stump someone next to you and say, hey, rock, rock, and rock. Listen, if I'm struggling to hold the mic up, it's that guy's fault there with the green envy. Took me to the gym today and I'm off broken, so I'm just maybe some going to use two hands at the time. So, thank you, Koos, but maybe I'm not looking at my place. Psalm 92, verse 30. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Just look at the word flourish from the dictionary. It is to be in one's pride. It is to be in one's pride. When you're a rugby player, when's your prime age? Okay?
23, 26,
Quiz?
Yeah, I'll say from 20 to some guys can go 23, 24.
Especially if you're a prop, eh?
Yeah.
Your prime.
Let me tell you, according to this scripture, when's your prime time in God's house? Listen, what's your prime time as a runner? Along the like comrades vibes.
35.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
like
Graham White. Graham is a bike and this is for the young bookie, so he's full of wisdom. It's actually true. But listen, let's ask another one, ladies. When's your prime time for beauty? Oh, difficult one. I mean, the art sucks here. Because some of us, we realize, we either there or... No, but okay, come on, let's talk about it. it's a prime time. When's the lady at the most beautiful? 40. Yes, it's a claimant. it's a really bad question, right? It's a really bad question. Because what am I referring to? Thanks for not answering that. Listen to it. God says, when you are planted in his house, you are hot stuff. He loves it when you plant. Guys, you can, my health help, my wife helped me with this. You won't understand what I'm going to say now. You can look at something and you'll figure it is. Ladies, God wants you to be beautiful. He wants to look at you and say, man, isn't she lovely? Isn't that a song? Isn't she lovely? God looks at you and he wants to say, wow, look at her. She is so beautiful. She is bearing fruit. She is pretty. And he says, they are planted in the house of the Lord and they flourish. They are in their prime. I'm telling you now, if you are where God wants you to be, you'll be in your prime until you die. Let's chuck the right beer. Let's think about it too. You know when you die, you earn your own body back. Thanks, Mission, for reminding me through the words. You're going to get your own body back in heaven, the new earth, right? People will still know you. And you know what? Your wrinkles will be gone. Praise the Lord. Okay? But while you're on earth, and even while this body will age, Paul says, you are beautiful to God. And you will remain in your prime if you are where God wants you to be. And that speaks of a lot of stuff. But at least being planted in the house of the Lord. Amen? I want to say this also, I want to thank you guys for having the attitude. I want to just say to all the other guys that are here, because we're really doing amazing. You guys are so full of joy. And you make it look like to serve God is the best thing, and it is, because you know what, we've been told in the past that it sucks. By our friends, it sucks to be a Christian. You cannot. That is a bunch of rubbish. Serve God is the best. God wants us to be full in Him and to rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, I think, says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And God wants you to flourish and to be happy. Rejoice all the way in the Lord. You just laughed when I said that. It's a baby scripture. Rejoice. That's what you meant. Okay, no. Joyce, we love you. What will like rejoice mean if Joyce is Joyce? Like when you walk out of the room and you come back, like rejoice. Resurface. Then we don't like make deep theological decisions tonight. Let's keep that for another night. But let's keep that. God wants you to flourish. God wants you to be mana. God wants you to be tough. God wants you to be tough for him. And he thinks you are tough when you get stuck in with the job he has. And he says, well, I'll dance, son. That's how we roll. Okay? Your girls, you must be pretty. So check this out. I'm just going playing around with thought. This is not what I'm really thankful for. Listen, I'm thankful to be a part of God's house. It is not a right. Guys, it is not a right to be a part of the church. It is like a new commitment to be a part of God's house. Then I want you to put up your hand. Just where you're standing. Thanks for those hands, guys. Keep those hands up. Just to the side to God. Lord, you see every hand. Father, thank you for the work you're doing in these lives. And Lord, as they bring their hands up, they say, Lord, help me to find my place in your house. And now, Father, I pray that you speak to each one of them, Father. But you speak to them like God, not man. And when God speaks to us, Lord, we know it sits deep within our soul. It's a conviction. Give them a place to be planted, to bear fruit, so they can be beautiful to you. Thank you, guys. You can lower your hand. Guys, if you really have to say tonight, you know what? I've got a lot of people I know, but what I need friends. It's got my back. I need to up my game so I can have my friends back. I want you to put your hand up. we pray through the system, right? We take it step by step. Some of us give our hands up every time if we're serious. Put our hand up. Lord, you see these hands, Lord. What I pray for, Lord, now is that you will supply the need. Father, your word says, there's a friend that sticks close to their brother. Your word says, confess your sin to one another, not us. Now, Father, as they respond and say, yes, Lord, in faith, we call down your blessing. Because, Father, it has already been provided at the cross. Thank you for friends for these guys. Thank you, Lord, that they not only to seek for friends, but they need to be that friend. You loosen it in their hearts right now. You make them men, Lord. Even as only men's hands up right now, Lord, you make them men that stand, Lord. Because maybe tonight you're saying that I've done that already with the goods. They keep on enough. But tonight the men rise up in this place in the name of Jesus. Guys, you know your hand. If you're almost done, just keep your focus, guys. If you say tonight, you know what, I've been around church, I like Jesus, I'm comfortable with him, I like saying he's God, but you don't have a clue what your job is. You don't even have a clue what your skills are. You don't even know why you're here. I want you to put up your hand. Yes, guys, put it up. Thank you, Lord, for this. Lord, you see the hands of these guys? You have made each one of them to be a part of your body, the church. And when they come with their gifts, they stand in a place in the church where no other man can stand because you call them to do it. Now you work in them, Lord, and you give them the courage to go on this journey because they won't know tonight. But you will show it to them. May they persevere, endure until the end. And they will find their place and they will stand in it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you guys for responding. Last one, keep your focus, okay? That you can say one day, listen, I went for God. Where I work, where I live, even in my family, I went for Him. Like He says, go and make disciples. That's the desire that you put up your hand. Father, you see every hand. You see the desire of their hearts. Father, thank you that I can know tonight that no man goes because he is strong. Or because he is a good speaker, or he is charming. If a man does the work of God, it's because God is doing it through him. By what? Grace. Do a grace work. I pray that these men with their hands up and women will worship you every single day. And when they glorify you, grace empowers them. Lord, tonight you can lower your hand. Tonight you can do it. Made, Lord. I don't even remember whose hand was up or down, Lord, but tonight you saw every man. And Father, you do a work. And we thank you that you met us tonight in this place. Amen. Guys, do you feel like you met with God tonight? I feel like it. Who felt that God spoke to me tonight? I'm telling you now, half the stuff I said wasn't on my sermon. I was spoken to my God. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. And I'm telling you, we're stepping out in this place. We're doing it together. Amen? I'm just going to pray for us. Lord, thank you. We send everyone out of this place with your love and your peace. We bless you, Lord. Every person is precious. And your kingdom will come in their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Guys, I'm going to stop it there.